On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the gospel truth. Today, I'm into my fifth week of teaching on God wants you well. And I tell you, this is something that has blessed me. I'm passionate about this because it's working in my own life. It has made a huge difference in my life, in my family. I have seen this touch other people. I've seen people that were indifferent about the Lord, maybe knew the Lord, but didn't have a passion. And when they see the miraculous power of God, when they receive the love of God flowing to them through healing, it just changes their life. And I tell you, I think that the body of Christ is missing a huge opportunity in not ministering on healing more, not seeing people set free. I think that the body of Christ would be much better off, they would represent God better. They would draw people to the Lord much more if we presented that God cares about our physical well-being. And so I believe that by the things I'm sharing, we are changing the opinion of a lot of people. And of course, I tape these programs in advance. I don't know the facts or the statistics from these programs yet, but I know that in the past, every time I've taught on God Wants You Well, we see hundreds and thousands of people healed. We have testimonies come back. Of course, this healing, this health care package that we're offering, a better health care package, that includes not only my DVDs and CDs, but we have DVDs of Healing Journeys 1 and Healing Journeys 2. All of those testimonies have come through the teaching on God's Word, and we have that documented. And I'm just excited. I believe that this is really helping people. Today, I want to continue talking about why isn't everyone healed. And let me just refer back again to Matthew chapter 17. Jesus told his disciples when they couldn't cast the demon out of this boy who had some type of seizure problem, he says it's because of your unbelief. I've already taught on that. That's a major point. There's a huge difference between saying it's you don't have enough faith, it's your little faith, and saying it's your unbelief. Those are not the same thing. They are opposite things. And I've already taught on that, so I just can't take time to go back over it. But what I want to do today is in the next verse, he said in verse 21, he says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Now, I made this point on our programs last week that this is not talking about this kind of demon. There are some people who teach that, that certain demons are so strong that the name of Jesus won't work on them. You got to pray and fast. You know, when you say it that way, that really doesn't make sense. There is no demon that won't flee at the name of Jesus if it's said in faith. This isn't talking about certain types of demons only go out by prayer and fasting. It's talking about this kind of unbelief. That's the subject of the sentence. This type of unbelief goes out by prayer and fasting. And let me just put unbelief into three categories. Now, I don't have a scripture verse for this, so you can take this as andiology if you want to. But Jesus did say that this kind, implying that there are different kinds of unbelief. I don't know a scripture that just lists them all and summarizes it, but in my study of the Word, in my dealing with people, I have put unbelief into three separate categories. You might be able to do more. I'm just saying this is the way that I did it. And so I've got unbelief that comes through ignorance, or if you're a politically correct person, a lack of knowledge. There's some people that get offended because I say that you're just ignorant of stuff, but man, you know, that doesn't offend me. I don't know why. I was talking to a woman not long ago, and I was going to say something about that could have been taken wrong, and I started trying to say, now look, I don't mean this offensive. I hope you will understand what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to help you. And she says, look, that's what I appreciate about you is that you don't sugarcoat it. I just want to hear the truth. Tell me the truth. And she understood exactly what I was doing. That's the way that I am. I like people to tell me the truth. Now, I would rather you tell me the truth, and if I don't like it, then I'll reject it, than for you to hide something and hold back something that could help me because you are afraid that possibly I might be offended. You know, you ought to give me the honor of rejecting something on my own instead of you rejecting it for me because you think maybe it'll offend me. See, that's the way that I feel. So anyway, I'm not trying to be offensive, but there's just ignorance causes unbelief. For instance, when I was in the Baptist church, it was mentioned a couple of times about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, but it was always like, that's for those people over there. This is not for you. And they didn't say a lot. And so basically, I grew up ignorant about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I just didn't know anything. I wasn't really taught against it as much as some people were, but I was ignorant of it. And guess what? I had no faith for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. I hadn't been taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and so therefore I didn't have faith for it. And in the absence of faith, I just naturally had unbelief, resistance, skepticism about it. So you can have unbelief that comes because of ignorance. You know what the answer to that is? You tell a person the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so the way you counter that kind of unbelief that comes through ignorance is you tell a person the truth. And if they'll receive the truth, then they're no longer ignorant. Faith has come, and they just operate and start seeing the blessing of God. There's a second type of unbelief that comes through wrong teaching or being taught incorrectly. Actually, I think you could call it disbelief. In other words, what I call unbelief is actually faith. It's just faith in the wrong thing. It's faith in reverse. Instead of towards God the way that it's supposed to be. You know, when people sit there and say in the Bible, in John chapter 20, Thomas was told by the other disciples that the Lord is risen from the dead. And he says, I will not believe unless I can see it with my eyes, unless I can put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. You know what that is? Faith. That's faith that this did not happen. Some people would say, well, see, that's unbelief. And it is. But all I believe that unbelief is faith in reverse, faith in the wrong thing. Or you could call it disbelief. It's belief, but you're believing against the right thing and for the wrong thing. And so I think that that's a second type or a second source of unbelief when you have been taught incorrectly. Like after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, then I started having all of the Baptists come to me that I was still associated with and started telling me that this was of the devil and started telling me that these things passed away with the apostles. And I started having unbelief through doctrine come at me, trying to steal from me what God had already given me. And praise God, I didn't submit to that, but I have ministered to lots of people who came out of a similar type of background. And actually, it's easier to minister to a person that has ignorant unbelief than it is a person that has wrong teaching as the source of their unbelief. Because it's like a blackboard or something. If you've never written on it, well, then all you got to do is just go up there and start writing. But if the thing has already been written on and if it's totally full, well, then you got to go to the effort of erasing it and cleaning the blackboard and getting it ready before you can write on it. And in a sense, a person who has never heard the truth and they just naturally don't believe because they haven't heard the word, all you got to do with that person is just tell them and they receive. But a person who's been taught the wrong thing, then you have to counter all of this wrong teaching and get that stuff cleaned out and wiped off, and then you start teaching them the truth. It takes more effort, but basically, the answer for both of these types of unbelief, the first two types of unbelief, ignorance and wrong teaching, is just simply the truth of God's Word. You tell a person the truth, and if they've been taught wrong and if they have a heart to really put God's Word first, well, when they hear the truth, they will accept it. And it takes effort, but they eventually get over that. So those are two types of unbelief. There's a third type of unbelief. And again, this is just my categorization of this. But the third type of unbelief is what I call natural unbelief. And what I mean by that, it's not because of ignorance and it's not because of wrong teaching. It's just natural. Like, for instance, go back to this story of this boy who was demon-possessed And he was brought to the disciples. And according to the account in Mark chapter 9, when they brought this boy to Jesus, he fell on the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth and had a seizure. And I tell you, any person who's ever seen a person have a grand mal seizure, it is a scary thing. I have witnessed this. I've seen it. And it will just naturally cause you to look at this and think, boy, this person isn't healed. This devil hasn't come out. This thing is worse instead of better. And you just naturally disbelieve. So there is a unbelief that just comes through your five senses, just natural things. We've been taught to believe what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. Sadly, most of us have not been equally taught that there is an unseen realm and there are spiritual things that you cannot perceive with your little five senses. Most of us haven't been taught that, and so we are dominated and controlled more than I believe God intended us to be by just physical, carnal, natural senses. And as a result, if somebody comes to you for prayer, and if you were to pray for them, and if they fell down on the floor and began to have a seizure, you would just naturally think thoughts of unbelief, like they aren't healed. It's worse. It's getting worse instead of better. You just naturally have this. Now, see, the first two types of unbelief, that is through ignorance and wrong teaching, you correct that by just the Word of God. But it doesn't matter how much you study the Word of God and how much you know, your eyes will at times tell you that something you prayed for didn't happen. And it's not evil. It's not demonic. It's just, here's the natural realm, here's the spiritual realm. God says they're healed. The natural realm says, no, you aren't healed. You go back to a doctor and the doctor tests you and says, nope, you've gotten worse. The tumor is bigger. It's not smaller. There's just naturally going to be an unbelief like that. How do you deal with this natural type of unbelief that isn't really demonic in its origin? It's not through wrong teaching or because something has been perverted to you. It's just, you know, you say I'm healed and yet here's your tooth still hurting and it's throbbing and you just naturally are going to think nothing happened because you don't feel it. How do you deal with the unbelief that just comes through your five senses, through the natural realm? How do you deal with that? Jesus said that this kind, talking about this kind of unbelief, this kind of natural unbelief that just comes through your five senses only comes out by prayer and fasting. And here's the reason that that works. Because see, if what you see is so dominant in your life that it overwhelms what you believe. Now, that may sound like a strange statement to some. Some people think, well, you know, if you really believe, then the natural realm just automatically changes and everything would be fine. See, you are a person. I mean this in love. I'm not trying to be critical. But if that's the way you feel, you are a person that is too dominated by your senses. Because that is not true. I could give you many examples of where God moved, like in the 11th chapter of the book of Mark, and he spoke and told that fig tree, you're dead. No man will ever eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And yet, if you would have looked at it with your physical eyes, there was not a single visible result. Nothing. It looked exactly the same. And it was 24 hours later, the next day when they walked by, that the fig tree was dried up, but it says from the roots. The truth is that the moment Jesus spoke instantly like that, that fig tree was dead. But it was below the surface where you couldn't see with your senses. You couldn't perceive. It took a period of time before what happened below the ground was manifest above the ground. And likewise, in just a couple of verses later, the Lord said in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. In other words, believe it happened, boom, right then, and you shall, future tense, have it. Right there, it makes a distinction that just like that fig tree died below the ground and it took a while for it to manifest above the ground, when you pray and believe, something happens in the spiritual realm and the power of God is released, but it takes a period of time for what has happened in the spirit realm to manifest itself in the physical realm. And see, if you don't understand that, And if you don't have your senses exercised, this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, that strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, by reason of use means it doesn't just happen one time and instantly you've got this overcome. You have to progress. You have to grow in this. You have to exercise yourself. Just like if you're running a marathon, you don't get up the morning of the marathon and train for it. You got to start a year in advance and build up to being able to run 26.2 miles. And it takes time and it takes consistent effort. And likewise, it takes effort for you to get your senses to where they can believe and be dominated by faith instead of your senses dominating your faith. See, we live it backwards. Boy, I wished I had more time. I wished I could tell you everything I knew in one program. But I've got a great teaching about Adam and Eve and how that when God created them, they had six senses, not five, but six. And that sixth sense was faith. And they were more dominated by faith than they were by sight. As a matter of fact, when they ate of the tree in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, in verse 7, it says their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. This isn't talking about their physical eyes. They weren't going around with their eyes closed prior to eating of the fruit. What it's talking about is they were seeing with their heart. They were walking by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. They were living by faith, and they were so dominated by what they saw with their heart, what they saw in the spirit realm, that the physical realm existed, but it wasn't dominant. And when they ate of the fruit, their spiritual eyesight closed. And they became abandoned to only seeing with their eyes. You know, I know what I'm saying to some people is just like, wow, this is weird. No, this is the way that God created us to be. And it says that they saw that they were naked. Some people say, well, they lost this robe of righteousness and they were no longer clothed with the glory of God and the righteousness of God. You know, you can make illustrations. You can use that symbolically, and that's okay. But the Scripture says in Genesis chapter 2, the last verse of Genesis chapter 2 says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That is prior to their eating of the tree. They weren't clothed with righteousness. You can use that symbolically, figuratively, but the truth is they were both but naked, and they never noticed it until after they ate of the tree. They didn't all of a sudden lose some light that was covering them. It was just the fact that they were so God conscious, they weren't even dominated. I'm sure that their eyes were open. They saw the tree, that it was good, but they had seen it, but they didn't pay attention. It wasn't dominant to them. They were so in the spirit that they were more in the spirit than they were in the flesh. Now that we've all fallen and we had a sin nature, it's the exact opposite. Most people are so in the flesh that they just can't get in the spirit. They think this is strange. It's weird. This is the way God made you to be, that you walk by faith and not by sight. But with most of us, our senses have been indulged. They're spoiled brats. You see something and that's just it. That's the end of it. You can't believe anything that you can't see. If you don't feel the anointing of God, you can't believe that He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter what the Word says. I don't feel God. And so feeling is more important to most people than the Word of God is. And on I could go. And so here's how fasting and prayer affects that kind of unbelief that just comes through the five senses. When you start praying and fasting, you are praying to a God that you can't see. Think about this. And your five senses, if you have been a person that is just totally controlled by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, if those dominate you, then you won't pray because you're talking to a God that you can't see. And then, as you talk, God will impress things on you and tell you things that you need to do. And so you start hearing something that you can't hear. And then you start feeling something that you can't feel. This is all in the spiritual realm. It's not in the physical realm. And when you are really praying and talking to God, a person you can't see, you're hearing from God, something that you can't hear, you're feeling the love and the joy and the peace of God, something that you can't feel in the natural. You know what you're doing? You're training these five senses that there's more than what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. There's also this spiritual world. And you exercise your senses to get to where, oh yeah, he's walking by faith now. We got six senses instead of five. And see, fasting does the same thing. If your body has been controlling you and it tells you when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat, and all of a sudden you say, body, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. I command you to quit hurting and we're going to act healed. If you haven't been fasting and disciplining yourself, your body's going to say, who are you to tell me anything? For 50 years, 60 years, I have told you when, what, where, how much to eat. I'm not listening to you, and your body will rebel because it's like a spoiled kid. And through fasting, you can teach your body that, hey, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you can get to where you train your body to discern good and evil. And then when you say, body, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. You may still feel pain, but you can sit there and overcome it by faith, and your body will say, all right, we're going to submit. And in spite of the fact that you may still feel pain, it won't be an unbelief that counterbalances and hinders your faith. You have brought your body into subjection. You have made it subservient to your faith. And see, this is what Jesus is saying. Basically, he's telling these guys, you had faith, but when you saw this demon manifest itself and you saw the screaming and the spitting and the foaming at the mouth and the convulsions, you were more dominated by what you saw than you were by what you believed, by the promises that I gave you. And you were just moved by your flesh. And that kind of unbelief, a kind of unbelief that isn't disbelief, not rejection of the truth or ignorance of the truth, but if you just see something that is contrary to what you've prayed for, that kind of unbelief can only come out by you fasting and praying. By you turning away from the natural and quit indulging your flesh and just putting yourself so into God and being so focused on God that your faith begins to become dominant. Your flesh will go the direction of your dominant thought. And if you take the Word of God and think on the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, then faith comes and faith will begin to start being dominant and you'll be more controlled by what you believe than what you feel. But on the other hand, even though you may know some of the truth, if you are dominated by just the natural realm, and it doesn't have to be X-rated, R-rated, ungodly stuff, profane stuff, just be natural. Just live your whole life in the natural. Just read everything in the natural. Read everybody's idea of what to do in the natural to deal with your situation. And if you get dominated by the natural, then that will be unbelief that will counterbalance your faith. It'll trump your faith, and it'll keep your faith from producing the right results. Boy, these are powerful truths. I tell you, this is something I operate in continually. There's not a day that goes by that I don't constantly evaluate. Am I giving more attention to the spiritual realm and to God and His Word than I am the physical realm? And this has mightily influenced my life. You know, I'm out of time today, but I've still got more to share about this. And some things, what I'm going to share tomorrow is maybe one of the most important things God has ever shown me along these lines. And so this could make a huge difference in your life. I'd like to encourage you to join me again tomorrow and also get these materials. Remember that we have a better health care package, and I think it would really be a blessing. So listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? Is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to encourage you to consider our Charis Bible College. I know that the things that I'm teaching are just radically different than what many people think, and they think, man, there's just so much that I need to know. And you know, really, the best way that I have of impacting a person's life is our Charis Bible College. We not only have our campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 campuses around the world. And we just opened up an online Bible school where you actually go through as a group. You have things that you interact with instructors, and it's a great way to get hold of the Word of God. We've got a phone number that you can call. Please call and check out about our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar next week, May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 28th through the 31st. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.